Well, let's begin. Father, we do thank you we can gather, and we do know that nothing changes from the end to the beginning. There's always the alternative of choice for each one of us. We can either choose you or we can choose the flesh. But Lord, we're here to pray and to make a difference, which there will be difference because of prayer. And so, Lord, our reason is not to question you, is not to say, why is there evil? Why are there drugs? Why are there alcohol? Why is there sex and all this stuff, pornography? But rather, Lord, our task is to praise you, to thank you, to worship you, and to make our requests known to you. And Lord, when you do answer our prayers, we are to take those answers and we are to give you praise. And this morning, as we look at a prayer of praise and thanksgiving, a prayer of prophecy, much to be learned from your word wherever we are. So we thank you for that. So lead us now, Lord, anyone else on their way, bring them here safely. And Lord, I just thank you that we've got more than two, and even if we only had one, it would be perfect. But Lord, with a whole bunch of us here, this is even better. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's praise him with Come Thy Fount of Every Blessing, number 50, right?
Yes.
Come, thy fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise a mount, I fix upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Praise him, praise him, praise him. Well, let's turn the Bibles to Samuel again, 1 Samuel chapter 2. The last time that I was here, we're going over Hannah's prayer. That was a prayer, really a quiet prayer. It was a prayer really more from the heart than from the lips. And, of course, you know that Ellie was watching her and thought she was drunk. But she was just crying out to the Lord. And now the Lord has answered the prayer. And in chapter 2, we have this great praise and prophecy prayer of Hannah. And there's so much to be learned here in this prayer, it seems to me. One of the things I think is great is just to encourage you ladies, because we have a real example here of a lady's prayer. This is the first time the Messiah is mentioned in the Scripture, right here in her prayer. It's a great prophecy in this prayer. And we see her, just notice, she's not thanking the Lord, focusing on her precious son Samuel, which so many mothers would be all over in their prayers and so focused on themselves, their children and all, which there's a place for that. But I think Hannah is at a much better place here because she's focusing on the giver. She's not focusing on the gift. And it's just awesome when you start to think of what the focus of this prayer is. It's all on him, all on him, all on him. Chapter 2, verse 1 of 1 Samuel. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. my horn or my mouth is enlarged. My horn or my source of strength is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. So notice here, she's rejoicing not just in the birth of her son. Yes, that was the answer to the prayer, and there is that great rejoicing. And because of having a son now, she's no longer barren, and she can smile at her enemies. And I can see, Peninnah in this word enemies, but it's also probably much greater than that. It could possibly be extended to the Philistines. During the period of Israel's time, it could be extended to the non-believers. It could be extended against all of those today who are coming against the Lord, couldn't it? I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. So first question for you this morning is, do you? Are you smiling at the enemies of God because you rejoice in your salvation? Are you wringing your hands with concern and, oh, it's just woe as the world is falling apart and our kids are all going down the drain and, oh, the rave concerts and all the things that are out there which are so hideous. Yes, we need to pray about those. But we need to really rejoice in our salvation, don't we? Because that's what this is all about, and that is our witness. If we come to young, old, or whatever alike with this extraordinary joy and peace, that's what everybody wants. They don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to be corrected. They don't want to be having the law laid down to them. But we want them to rejoice in the salvation of the Lord. Now notice she's giving the total credit here to the unparalleled, really, perfection of God. And in your prayers, do you have that sense of unparalleled perfection to God? She said, no one is holy like the Lord. Awesome, isn't that? When you think of what that really means, there's no one holy like the Lord. And there is none beside you. None beside you. Nor is there any rock like our God. So that should be the foundation of our prayers, it seems to me, of focusing on the awesomeness of who we're praying to. And if He is able to create all things, if He's able to keep all things in existence, if He's able to keep all these planets and stars and everything else whirling around and perfectly in order, you think He's able to handle your prayer and my prayer? You think He's able to handle that reluctant teenager and that reluctant child or spouse or relative or associate or whoever who is not walking with the Lord? I think so. Verse 3, talk no more so very proudly, Benaniah and others. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. So, you know, let the Obamas of the world rattle around and open their mouth. It's just arrogance, but let not that be coming from you. And now we see the Lord. He takes down, He raises up, and how true this is. The bows of the mighty men are broken. Those who stumbled are girded with strength. Isn't that true in our lives? We go along with some peaks of successes, and maybe some things go the way we want them to go, and we feel so, oh, wow, yes, Lord, I can do it. And then, you know, He brings us down, doesn't He? Brings us down, but then He lifts us back up with strength. And those who were full have hired themselves out for bread. And we see that all the time in the world, don't we? One day rich, the next day poor. And vice versa, the hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren have born. She says, even the barren has born seven. Now, we're not quite sure what that means. At this point, she'd only had one son. She could have thought, well, a Rechabite son may be worth seven. She could even be prophesying. We know that in the next chapter, it's going to show she has five more children, three more sons and two daughters. How many more she had, we don't know. But these seven typically would be a full quiver kind of a thing that my need for children and my need for sons really here has been satisfied. Even the barren has borne seven, and I think she's maybe referring to her, although this could have other implications too. And I think even with Peniah here, she who has many children has become feeble. The Jewish tradition is, whether it's true or not, nobody knows, but every time that Hannah had a child born, that Peniah had two dying. I'm not so sure that I would go along with that, but that's what the Jewish tradition is. Anyway, she has many children, has become feeble. Now we continue on with the sovereignty of the Lord here in 6, 7, and 8. The Lord kills and the Lord makes alive. That word makes could be keeps. He keeps alive. And so, you know, we see here, of course, death in these bodies is a very natural thing that's going to happen to everybody, isn't it? It really is. But he also makes alive. He brings down to the grave for sure, and he brings up. And so even though these bodies are going to go down to the grave, we have the power of the resurrection, the living hope in Christ Jesus, don't we? We're not going to stay in the grave. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. So who makes the poor? Who makes the rich? He brings low and lifts up. So humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will what? Lift you up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes. And we can think of Joseph. We can think of Daniel. We can think of Moses. To make them inherit the throne of glory. For what? The pillars of the earth are the Lord's. His almighty power. He's holding up the earth. He's holding all things. And we'll have he has, and then we'll have he will here. We'll change the thrust here in just a minute. He has set the world upon them. Absolutely, he's created all things. And now he will. We've got a bunch of he wills. This is looking forward now. He will guard the feet of his saints. And I can see in there the promise to the church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I can see him guarding the feet of his saints. And we can see here, over and over, it seems to me, our need to be pure, free from sin, and being in his word and being in prayer and leaving the rest to him, right? The wicked shall be silent in darkness. He'll take care of the wicked. And by strength, no man shall prevail. Well, John 15:5, he says what? If my word abides in you and you abide in me, you shall bear what? Much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So by our strength, no man will prevail. So if this is a note for the adversaries of the Lord, they shall be what? Broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. Ooh. The Lord will judge the end of the earth. He will give strength to the king, his king. That's a small k there, probably relating to the king of Israel to be coming, maybe David. But then we have this final great prophetic statement. He will exhort the horn of his Mashiach, is what that word is, anointed. And the first, this is the first use of the term Messiah in the scriptures, and it comes from this woman's prayer of praise and thanksgiving. So in summary, remember to praise the giver and not just be concentrating on the gift. We need to be focused on him and not on ourselves. What we win by prayer, we want to wear or want to keep or want to use with comfort and praise. Remember, thanksgiving is a very important, essential part of prayer. We see here Hannah's prayer was silent, but her praise was vocal. And as I ask the question, do you smile at your enemies because of your rejoicing in your salvation? Hannah's triumph in God and his glorious perfection and the great things he has done for her, we see that in this prayer. And what we give God the glory of, may we take comfort of, as Hannah has done. And we see here that the church, the believers, will be safe and the enemies will be ruined. For the Mashiach, the anointed, the Lord Jesus Christ, is girded with strength and is able to save and destroy unto the uttermost. Father, it's so encouraging to be in your word and to see the promises that are there and to see your faithfulness. And Lord, we can see it not only on a large scale as we look at Hannah's prayer and see the history of the world, so to speak, but we see it in our own lives. We see it in our own lives on a daily basis, in some cases an hourly basis. We certainly see it on a weekly basis, or maybe a monthly basis, or maybe a yearly basis. And so, Lord, we just want to praise you. We just want to thank you. And Lord, help us. Help us to confess our sins before you again this morning and to be pure. Lord, because sin will mess it up. Sin clogs it up. Sin separates us from you. And that is in our power and in our hands. Part of that is in our hands, Lord. We have that choice, whether to turn away from those things which are not bringing us closer to you. And Lord, as we just think this morning, maybe just for a few seconds right now, what is in my life that is not bringing me closer to you? Can it be eliminated? We know it should be eliminated. Can we eliminate it? Will we eliminate it? Will we make that decision, Lord? I'm removing that from my life. And maybe it's just a distraction of a video. Maybe it's a distraction of a movie. Maybe it's a distraction of a book. Lord, so many people are spending so much time reading books. Not your Bible, but books. And many say, what books have you read lately? And they say, I'm reading so-and-so book. Have you read that? Have you heard that? And Lord, it is not of you, or it's not all of you. It may be something about you, but how are we spending our time, Lord? Are we spending it on things that are drawing us close to you? And so, Lord, that two-edged sword, they're really what we want to cut through our lives with, to cut away the things that are pulling us from you and to cut toward you to bring us closer to you. And so time, hearts, priorities, Lord, where are they in our lives today? So, Lord, I thank you for the priority here demonstrated this morning by my precious brothers and sisters who have come to pray. And this is the best thing we will do today, I believe, what we're doing right here. So guide us now, O great Jehovah, and fill us with your Spirit, and may we be praying in one accord as you lead us and as you prompt us. And Lord, as each one prays, may we just find our spirit rejoicing and joining together with that prayer as though it were one accord here, Lord, knowing that it is one Spirit leading us all. And so, Lord, lead us now in this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.